Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What does one U.S. senator think about the Mueller investigation and more? Let's go in-depth with Senator Chuck Grassley from New Hartford.
Dr. Bob, I'm ready for you. Well, I shouldn't say I'm ready for you. I never know until you ask the question.
Well, how are you, Senator?
Very good. And, you know all the things that go on in Iowa with snow. You'd laugh at what goes on out here when you get inch or two. And maybe we'll get more than that. But government shut down. The Senate's operating. But we're going to have some earlier votes as opposed to later votes. So maybe people can get home, and maybe with the executive branch being shut down, it won't be as difficult as getting home for me to get home as it is sometimes. But regardless, that's Washington, D.C. for you.
Well, you're a little south of all the major storms hitting New England, so that's got to be a plus.
Oh, can you imagine three? Well, the last snowstorm in Boston was 22 inches. That's half of what we get in a year, and this year we're probably getting about 10% of what we normally get.
Well, Senator, I thought we'd start with, you've asked the Justice Department, you and Senator Lindsey Graham, to appoint a special counsel with powers related to the Trump-Russia probe of Robert Mueller to investigate suspected Justice Department corruption. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. First of all, it could be just a U.S. attorney that doesn't have anything to do with the subject. And the idea is that you give a teammate to the inspector general because there's some parts of the law inhibit what the inspector general can do. Like, for instance, he can't question people that have left government service that may be very important to what he's trying to accomplish. And so the idea would be to have somebody that could be there, that could call a grand jury or could question people outside of the government. But it wouldn't be anything wide-ranging like the authority that Mueller has. Be very limited to what the inspector general's already doing. And so that's why we called for that. We submitted 30 questions that I don't know whether there's a specific one that stands out more than the other that ought to be investigated, but it's in regard to tracking down all we can of where there was political influence, both in the Trump administration or in the previous administration.
Are you suspecting Comey of wrongdoing?
Well, I'll give you an example of what was on television so you could have seen the same thing. I asked, this goes way back when Comey was still Attorney General. We had an oversight hearing. FBI Director, I mean. And we had an oversight hearing before he was released. And I asked him if he had ever directed anybody to leak or whether he did any leaking, and he said no. There's some evidence from some of the stuff that we know that the Deputy Attorney General now fired, Deputy Director of the FBI now fired, that says things contrary to it. That'd be just one example, and that was very clearly laid out over the weekend television as an example.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley. I don't understand all of it, that what constitutes a leak and what doesn't. I mean, I understand if it's sensitive material, but people communicate all the time about all kinds of things. What constitutes the definition of a leak? Something that's top secret or what?
Well, I think maybe your question's appropriate from the standpoint of what's a leak or isn't a leak, but it's more along the lines of whether somebody was doing something that the law doesn't allow. So the definition of a leak, I'm not sure that I can answer that from a legal standpoint, but there were things that he did that let me, to give credibility to what we're, how we approach this thing. First of all, the new director, FBI, Ray, released him from his position, and then it was referred to the Office of Professional Responsibility, which that lady has been in the job, and it's very non-political, and said that he should be fired instead of just going out, you know. And then that's what happened. He was fired. So if you're looking at credibility of whether or not the Attorney General took proper action over the weekend, according to the people that are non-political, the answer is yes, he was appropriately fired. And then over the weekend, you know, former FBI agents testify, probably don't have any interest in just this one guy, but that there's been 12 people in the last year that were released from the FBI for a lot less than what he was.
Well, now, Democrats would say that this is all a part of an effort to cast doubt on the legitimacy of Mueller's investigation. Is it?
Absolutely not. How many times, maybe every day, I tell somebody in the press, Mueller is well-respected in this town. He ought to complete it. But when we got involved as my committee, and it's happened in House committees and even in the Senate Intelligence Committee, you get involved in other things. When you're investigating one thing, it leads to another, to another, to another, and you just kind of follow the facts where they are. And a lot of stuff that has taken us from Trump to Clinton to emails or to Uranium One, it's stuff that's come out of what we originally started to investigate. And so I think that that Democrats primarily want to accuse us of detracting from Mueller, and maybe to some extent from a press-wise, it does detract from Mueller, but nobody's going to stop Mueller. And even the President of the United States, you know, it was Saturday, it was Sunday, it was said he's going to be fired. Monday, the President said he has no desire to fire Mueller, et cetera, et cetera. It all gets distraction. It all gets mixed up. So it's how people want to read it, but you follow the facts. It's pretty much that simple. Now, let me get back to, you know, I still don't have a definition of a leak, but when it comes to McCade, it's not the leak that's a problem. It's what he did. He lied about leaking, and lying to investigators or lying to the FBI is illegal, just like it was illegal for Flynn to lie to the FBI. And so the request that Graham and I were making was to the IG, and the reason I'm saying this is because you said something about Mueller in regard to our questions in regard to the special IG. It doesn't have anything to do with Mueller.
More in depth after this. And we should remind our listeners that this isn't just part of your role as a senator. This is part of your role as oversight of these different agencies, the FBI, et cetera, as chair of the Judiciary Committee.
Let me add to what you just said. You know, I think most people think Congress's job is to appropriate money and make laws, but you're very clear. I call it oversight. People in high school learn it as checks and balances, but we have a responsibility to make sure our laws are carried out the way Congress intended them and enforced the way we intended them. And whether the FBI is doing its work, whether or not there's political influence in the FBI, that's part of our job to make it public. Just like Mueller's job is to find out whether there was collusion between the Russians and the president to get Trump elected. So far, there's been no such proof of that. But just like you've asked me about going from Trump Russia to something else, Mueller has gotten involved in a lot of other things that maybe it's very legitimate he gets involved in them, because if there's a crime, there's a crime. So that's why Manafort gets arrested and going to be prosecuted and probably serve 20 years in prison. That's why a couple people lied to the FBI. They got a plea agreement that probably gives them no sentence at all or a shortened sentence, but they're still guilty. So one thing leads to another, and our investigations led from Trump Russia to still doing Trump Russia, but getting into other things. And Mueller's the same way, because what Manafort was arrested for took place, I think, 6 or 7 years before he ever had anything to do with Trump.
What happens if President Trump fires Mueller?
This place will blow up. Not in the physical sense. It would be the biggest mistake that the president could make. Let me, why? A common sense ought to dictate that the president wouldn't want to do this. He's been investigated for a year about Trump collusion with Russia. Look at it. Everything that that we know so far, no collusion. And it's not just Trump saying no collusion. There's nothing that really even hints at collusion. And so if the president is right that there's no collusion, so far it isn't, things ought to be going the way that the president would see it as a positive thing. Let it play out. But if it if he fired Mueller, quite frankly, from my point of view, it looked like he had something to hide.
Well, and Representative Trey Gowdy said something like that, I believe, over the weekend, where he said, if you're innocent, President Trump, you should act like it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You agree?
Oh, yeah, and I maybe haven't said it as smoothly as Trey Gowdy can, but you know darn well I just said it to you previously.
Senator, I want to give you an opportunity to talk about some of the, well, we've only got a couple more minutes, but could you hit on something that you're doing that you think is really positive that has nothing to do with President Trump?
Criminal justice reform. And to some extent, Trump's got some interest in it. At least a good part of my bill he's got some interest in, but I did the same thing 2 years ago before he was president, and if there was a Clinton presidency, I'd still be doing the same thing. We have mandatory minimums. It's called being tough on law enforcement. We've had it on the books for 25 or 30 years. It's a good thing for prosecutors to have, because when they arrest somebody at the low end of the drug chain, maybe they can get their cooperation, get somebody higher up. So mandatory sentences is kind of an incentive for people to cooperate in law enforcement. Okay, so I support mandatory minimums, but also there's a lot that comes from mandatory minimums that are very unfair. So what our bill does on criminal justice reform is, once you've had, let's say, a 30-year sentence for something, and you figure, well, you know, maybe 10 or 15 years is legitimate, so you go back to the judge and plead a case. You aren't going to get out in the street right away if you win, but you could get that sentence reduced from 30 to 20 to 20 or 15 or even 5 or loss. Then we it gives us an opportunity to bring to show some compassion, some fairness in that comes from unfairness in the mandatory minimum sentences that judges have no discretion. They just have to impose it. And so that bill got out of committee a couple weeks ago, 16 to 5. Last year it got out of committee 15 to 5. I said the White House is for a part of it that we call prison reform. I'm trying to get the White House interested in the sentencing reform part of it. That's the part I described to you. And the bottom line of it is I told the Attorney General one time, who opposes my bill, you can be tough on crime and still support fair sentencing.
Well, thank you, Senator.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.